Hey everybody, this is Kimberly Gold. I was the bass player in the Halloween dance scene from the movie Once Bitten, and you are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast.
Welcome to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any all vampire movies not being covered by other Movie by Minute shows, which is right now only Fright Night Movie Minute has done a vampire podcast dedicated to a film in this kind of breakdown formula. I am your host, Dr. Chris, and joining me for minutes 40 to 45 of the original Blade film, which is a Marvel's Blade, it is Time Warner Entertainment's Blade, it is New Line Cinema's Blade, is the host of the Robin Hood Movie Minute podcast.
It's Travis Bowe.
And the name of the podcast is the Robin Hood Movie Minute, or is it, it's got another title?
It's Minute of Thieves.
Okay, Minute of Thieves, not Robin Hood Movie Minute podcast. Gotcha.
Right.
Because then you'd have to cover all of the Errol Flynn movies and stuff like that.
Right.
Right.
That's not implied in my mandate.
Or the terrible Robin Hood movies that have come out since then.
Yeah, I'm just there for the for that one.
I was at an antique store today at the day that we're recording this, which is the second to last day of June in 2025. And somebody had hanging up on the wall in the flea market. Sorry, it wasn't an antique store. It was a flea market. A movie poster framed of the original movie poster for Robin Hood. They wanted $25 for it.
For the like the Errol Flynn.
Your movie.
Oh, nice. Hell
right.
Yeah.
You wanted $25 for it. I was considering buying it, but buying it for someone else I know in my life who is a big fan of that film, actually. Sorry,
yeah.
Travis, not you. But she told me she was a big fan again of this film when I told her I was going to be on your podcast, and I was like, oh, I remember, and we haven't watched the movie yet, so we should watch it, but I'm going to pick up the Arrow collection home video version of it. So we
nice.
Begin these 5 minutes of Blade with starting with the cop calling about Blade and ending with little duckies in a pond. The vamp safe house is basically what we go to right after that. There's worse things tonight besides vampires. Like what? Like me. Very famous line from this movie, other than there's some motherfuckers always trying to ice skate uphill.
That was a trailer line. I remember the worst things out tonight.
Yep, and it was very blue lighting on Blade in this. This whole movie is very blue sometimes. It's just the gothic blue, maybe. If you look up a copy of a book called Vlada, A Dracula Tale, which is my graphic novel, there's a we decided to use that for the for a particular kind of cover, a retail cover, when we were off of Kickstarter. I wanted a blue look to the border. And a lot of people really like the blue cover more than the red covers that we've done. So, and I actually found it. It's a guitar vampire blue. It's like a nail polish. Guitars have used it. It's very sexy, in my opinion. What was your first exposure to Blade?
It would have been, I guess technically it would have been the animated Spider-Man piece from like 1994 because they had Blade in there.
Correct.
But then this movie would have primarily been, the introduction for me. And I dragged my family to go see this in theater. And afterwards they were like, what the hell did you just make us watch? So I loved it, but. They were not thrilled about it.
My first exposure to Blade was from the comic books. He had shown up in the Rise of the Midnight Suns crossover event with the Ghost Rider books because they were trying to give Ghost Rider a family of titles. Everyone had a family of titles back then in the 90s. X-Men, The Avengers, Spider-Man had 4 books. Superman had 4 books. Batman had like a dozen titles, things like that. So they decided to give Ghost Rider a couple of extra books. And that's where we get the Night Stalkers that show up in the third Blade film. But, that was my first exposure to Blade. And then he showed up on the, again, aforementioned Spider-Man in the animated series. And I was blown away. I could not believe they had Blade on the cartoon. And that's also where we get Whistler from. Whistler comes from the animated series. This club, Blade just walks in like a boss. There's schoolgirls singing on stage and a bunch of Japanese, Asian maybe, I don't know necessarily Japanese, but this is very much a Japanese kind of club feel to it. I don't remember seeing a lot of this kind of thing. I've never been to China, I've never been to Japan, but what I've seen, this is definitely more Japanese. You have schoolgirls on stage singing, a bunch of Japanese businessmen watching them. That's definitely more of like the anime kind of like,
That's the vibe I get as well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who these girls are. In the IMDb's, they're not really well listed sometimes, so I didn't know who the schoolgirls dancing in the club scene were. I was almost considering it was the double girl trio, the double girl duo who sings the Teen Titans theme song from the animated series, not Teen Titans Go, but the original.
Before we get to that club, I did want to mention that this is probably one of his favorite bits in the movie is the car with Blade and Krieger, just the way it's edited and the some of it has, you know, the sped up, like it almost feels like the rear projection is going at a different speed Blade in the car, and then it's just edited really stylized in a way that I'm not crazy about. So it's one of the few things in the movie I don't care for. So it's, you know, I'm glad I in my chunk of minutes so that I could, you know, point it out.
So these two girls who, looking at them now today, they're in their 40s, by the way. So they were pretty much of the right kind of age to be on stage dancing like schoolgirls. They were 17 and 18 at the time. Now they're like 40, 45. Bongwa Cherry is the name of the band. It's Kuriyama Kayoko and Takashimi Masuko. Those are the two girls who are dancing on the stage, and they are, in fact, a pretty well-known Japanese duo of pop rock in Japan.
Huh. Right on.
They have multiple listings everywhere. They're on the Blade soundtrack as well. They are pretty popular. Bongwa Cherry and DJ June they have teamed up with. Their look is very much indicative of this film. It's kind of like goth rock pump, pop. And they've appeared in multiple anime cartoons as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I was right about like the Japanese, the whole thing. Cause then we have like the businessmen in the audience watching it and like, they just watch Blade walk in. No one stands up to stop him. Just like, oh, well there's Blade. So if we don't get his way, maybe he won't kill us.
I see. I think for the longest time, I've kind of gone back and forth. Like, I didn't know, is this a room full of vampires, or are these just humans? And this happens to be, you know, like, he says that the doorman and the valets and the hooker on the corner are vampires, but he goes in here, he doesn't kill anybody, even the doorman. I interesting that he doesn't kill. So, yeah, I wasn't, I've gone back and forth, where, because all the Japanese, like, you know, they obviously look at Bede, like makes me think that they recognize, oh, that's the vampire hunter, but it's also just these guys could just be Japanese businessmen, and here's a guy who just, you know, kind of stands out in this club. So I don't know, I've gone back and forth. What about do you think this is a room of vampires or humans?
No, I think this is a vampire club that humans are hanging out in, but Blade is on a mission to kill Deacon Frost. He doesn't have time to take on an entire club. He just did that. And also, it would just be it might have been a filmmaking decision not to have Blade just do another giant fight club in a fight club scene. They just did that. Like,
yeah.
Like 30 minutes prior, they just did that in the opening sequence. It would just be a reboot.
Right.
So taking out a couple guys. And he's after something. He's after Pearl. So we get to Pearl eventually, because this seems to be like where, all of the Maragwai, the Magwai, whatever the vampire is. I can't say.
Oh, crap. It's fine.
It comes up later
Malagra.
On.
Malagra.
It comes up later on. It's open season and all suckheads, which is also a great line, and also the line used in the trailer. I want a backdoor elevator through my freezer. I think that would be cool. It would lead to like a game room or something, or it could be like in that movie where the three guys are trying to find the ultimate Christmas party and it's being led by their old former stoner janitor, and it's a whole like Great Gatsby thing.
Which one's that?
Twas the Night Before.
Okay.
Yeah, it stars Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Captain America, Anthony Mackie.
Yep.
With Michael Shannon, General Zod from Man of Steel. Blade and Karen go into the freezer, down the elevator, and they find the archive. But we switch over to the rooftop party, a major, major vamp party with little duckies in the pond. I absolutely do love this more than the The other scene, it's kind of interesting that the vampires be having their own rooftop party. And,
right.
You know, as we see the little duckies bopping around, it's really cool. They obviously have some kind of, like, UV-coated, you know, like, shielding glass, shields for the sun and things like that, which is, you know, obviously what they need.
When they head to the elevator, there's a moment when the doors are about to close on Blade. He does this facial sort of tick where he grins real wide, like cocks his head, like he's almost like he's about to say, like, that was pretty awesome, wasn't it? You know, and it's a thing that he does a few times in this movie where he will show some personality, and it's there and some it's not. Like when he to the doorman, right, and the asks for permission, he takes his sunglasses off and then he smiles at him. You know, and it's this thing that I don't know if it's a holdover from like something Wesley Snipes was trying to do and they just cut around some of it, or if, you know, because he plays most of the movie so stoic and, you know, just deadpan that there's a few moments like that where he shows some personality. It's always kind of fun to see.
Yeah, he's not completely closed off from all of society in his head.
Yeah.
If you watch the TV series, it really feels like he is. It's awful.
Yeah.
Again, if I had enough money, I would love a rooftop party like this.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a cool location.
We end our 5 minutes with it. The duckies in the pond, showing that even vampires have a sense of humor. I don't know what it was with duckies in the bathtub or the pond. This is the third villain I can think of that had duckies in the water for them to play with. The other one I'll mention that comes to mind mostly is the Beast Wars Megatron would always take an Energon bath and have a rubber ducky with him.
Okay.
Yeah, so he'd be sitting in a floating bath of Energon, and he'd have a squeeze toy rubber ducky, which he would pick up and squeeze when he's shouting into an intercom at his troops for their, you know, their buffoonery in not defeating the Maximals for whatever his plan was in several times.
Huh.
And they've never, like, you know, everyone's been asking for, like, if they release, like, a toy with all sorts of, like, gimmicks and things like that for Beast Wars Megatron, they give him, it's the Transmetal Beast Wars Megatron, just so we're really clear, that's the one from Season 2. He has, you know, give him, like, a prop, like a rubber ducky that he can have in the bathtub. And they're not even, like, vampire rubber duckies, they're just little rubber duckies. I don't get why. That had to be a set decoration thing, I don't get it. That's how we end our 5 minutes for this round of Blade Minutes. Travis, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can hear me over on Minute of Thieves. It's my Movies by a Minute show, talk Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Also on Real Comic Heroes, where I talk about comic book movies. I've discussed Blade already, so you can check as well.
And you can find me over on the Radio Horror Show, Sunday nights 10 to midnight, where I do the live radio show with guest artists and actors, directors, things like that. We've got the composer for I Know What You Did Last Summer coming on the show soon, from the new film coming out in 2025, July of 2025, as well as many other exciting guests. And you can also check out my own dip into the vampire world, August 15th, with Colleen, the Vlada Tale of the Damned, where we have a sequel to Vlada, a Dracula Tale, the gender swapped graphic novel. And you can go to Kickstarter to pick that up. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another exciting 5 minutes of Blade here on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast.